Amos chapter 5. Book of Amos chapter number 5 this morning. Folks, Amos was a preacher of righteousness. Much of the theme through the book of Amos is the holiness of God and the righteousness of God. And at that day and time, God's people were not. And since the days of Jeroboam, when Jeroboam, the Bible says, made Israel to sin, you know, he set up that golden calf there at Bethel and one in Dan, and of course all the people went to those things instead of going to Jerusalem to serve the living God. And it just kind of, from then on out, of course Amos is later on here in history, but again, idolatry was the problem of the day. And folks, when God's people are in idolatry, in other words, when they focus on something else other than the Lord Jesus Christ, other sins start to surface, don't they? Other things, we get lax. And may I say this morning, as God's Word is preached, as I went over the message, it's personal, all right? Our relationship with Christ is personal. And we can be in idolatry and struggle one day, and the next day we're right with God, and boy, we have a song in our heart, amen? Amen. And again, so as we come to Amos chapter 5, let's look at verse number 21. Remember, as we come into context, God is dealing with His people here, and they're focusing on other things, and they've got a tremendous list of sins. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 21, and this is what God says about this. This is God's heart here to the people of Israel who are in the sin of idolatry. I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. But let judgment run down as the waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? The answer is yes, they have. But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch, and Chian your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves. Listen to verse 27. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Let's look to the Lord this morning. Father, thank you this morning for your precious word. And God, by your word and your authority this morning, we trust that Satan is fleeing even presently as Lord, we even command him in the name of Christ. In this matter of principalities and powers, for we are joint heirs with the Son of God. And Lord, you said, he that believeth, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, Father, my precious Lord, I come to you today in faith and ask you, God, please, to work and to move in our hearts, in the heart of this preacher this morning. We are needy people. In Christ's name, amen. As little children grow up and watch and observe their parents and others, they mimic us. And they want to do the same things we do. I remember June having a little rope, and she'd hook onto a Lincoln log and drag it around the basement because Daddy drug logs outside with a tractor or something, you know. And they do those things. And again, I'm thankful June's not necessarily doing that today, but maybe the little ones will. And they do, the boys. But, you know, I know of a group of children who would set up a pulpit, you know, and set up some pews. And, boy, those kids knew how to do it, man. They had a song service. They'd get up there and they'd have a sermon, a pretend sermon, a pretend song service. And, boy, they'd have a time, and they knew even how to say all the things that the adults say in the service at church, you know. And again, nobody got saved in their service. Nobody really got their heart right with God, so to speak. You know? And they were going through the motions. These young children are simply playing church. As we come to Amos chapter number 5, God is very, very upset with these people, may I say, as you will see the judgments that come here, because his people are playing church. Between you and God this morning, not you and the preacher, not you and Grace Baptist Church, you and Jesus Christ, would you allow him to analyze your heart this morning, your very being this morning? Could it be that you are playing church? We'll see three ways from the Bible these Israelites were simply pretending to worship God in spirit and in truth, but may I say it, and you know what I mean, they were simply playing church. Number one, we'll see false worship. Oh, we're going to see it right here in the Word of God this morning. We're going to see false praise. We're going to see false dedication. Oh, allow the Spirit of the living God to open your heart, your mind, to what He would say to you this morning. Not the preacher, not his illustrations. What would God have you do? Because dear friends, dear brothers and sisters, we are accountable to one. Isn't that right? That's it. Number one, verses 21 and 22. God says, I despise your feast days. But listen, folks, God commanded them to have the feast days. Right? Were they not important to the Lord? Yes, they were. Church is important to the Lord. No doubt about that. He said, I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. God says, I'm not going to regard this thing. You see, the folks would show up. The feast days were appointed by God at specific times throughout the calendar year. The whole congregation of Israel would come together for a time of worship and praise, fellowship, you know, and a time of honor and giving God glory, time of joy and gladness. But listen, these folks kept the feast days. They continued to keep going to church. They had the Sunday school picnic. Everybody even showed up, right? And again, their feast days, they had these things, but their hearts and lifestyles were far from God and His ways. And they lived for themselves and the pleasures of the world. Look at verse 22. It talks about burnt offerings. It says, ye offer me burnt offerings. A burnt offering was usually a young bull, a ram, or it could have been a he lamb, a goat, whatever the family had. Listen, an offering was expensive. Folks, you do a little pricing on some beef today. A beef cow, 600-700 pounds. Some of them's going for $1,000. All right, just weaned from mom, and you still got to feed them, and then until you ever get. What am I trying to say? Our sin cost us something, and it did the nation of Israel with these animals that they brought. But praise God for the sin offering that He gave of His precious Son. And may I say in this church age, we're going to come this morning. Yes, I understand. Preacher, that's the Old Testament. Oh, lots of application to the New Testament church this morning here in the book of Amos. But the burnt offering was it symbolized the complete surrender of an individual to a life that pleases God and God alone. That's the burnt offering. A surrender life. Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. It's when a man or a woman in Grace Baptist Church says, no, God, whatever you want, I'm going to do it. Because I want you. It might be uncomfortable. It might be inconvenient. It might not go with my feelings or the way I think it should be, but God, I'm going to come and I'm going to put myself down, lay myself down right before you and give myself over to you. We're talking about a whole burnt offering. God wants that from this preacher this morning. And dear friends, He wants that from you this morning. Because He loves you. And because He's worthy. And yes, we owe it to Him. But again, a whole burnt offering. And these folks were going through the motions. And I fear that many Christians, I fear that many times in my own life, I'll go through the motions. But my heart, my mind, I'm not conscious of His person. Life decisions. And I won't mean life decisions like Sarah. She's got to make some life decisions. That's huge right now. But even just the decisions on from day to day, how we're going to handle certain situations, what we're going to do. When you're offered to Christ and surrender to God, you're going to do something. It matters what you do. Let's just put it that way. And there's a decision that pleases God, and there's a decision that pleases you or someone else. I mean, some indicators that we're not giving God our all is when our attitude and language changes according to the people that we're around. You know, are you different at church than you are at home? Are you different at home than you are in the workplace? Or are you God's man? You see. Or are you God's lady? Is there some words that you'll say around others that you won't around some others? You say, well, I won't say that around the children. You know, and I'm really particularly talking about profanity and swear words of some unclean talk. You know, if the children can't hear it, I don't want to hear it. And that doesn't mean that my flesh doesn't want to hear it. Do you understand this morning, folks? There's a battle in us. We need to be real about that, too. There's too much fakeness, amen? Too much of it. Hypocrisy. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20 says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. When I go to the store and buy something, I don't think twice about it. It's mine. I have it. It belongs to me. You're saved here this morning. God bought you, friend. You belong to Him. He shouldn't have to think twice about it. That man, he's going to do what I want him to do. Because I bought him and he knows it. And he loves me. He knows I'm worthy. He knows I'm the lamb that was slain from before the foundations of the world. But we don't always, do we? We forget. A whole burnt offering. Oh, I knew of a man that, boy, he'd talk to you about God from time to time. He'd talk a little bit about theology, but boy, you mentioned the Pittsburgh Steelers. Look out. He knew the statistics. He knew how many touchdowns so-and-so ran for and how many yards and all those different things. But it wasn't that way with the things of God. It wasn't the same interest. It wasn't a spring in his step for that. Why? Because there's some idolatry in the heart. You say, that's judgmental. No, that's the Word of God, friend. What excites you? What makes you tick? What do you spend your time thinking about? I'm convicted already.
Are you?
What do you spend your time doing? How do you spend your money? What's important to you? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Colossians there says in chapter 3, I believe, to set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, you shall also appear with Him in glory. We've got to focus on glory. We've got to focus on the things above. Isn't it hard? Oh, yes, when life, we're so much going on in life, and you've got this circumstance and this situation, and this is, we've got obligations. And we do need to keep those responsibilities. But the main thrust of our life has got to be Christ. And I will say, there is a definite connection between knowing Christ and keeping those obligations. For sake of testimony, God expects that too. But I guess what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, without that lifeline to Him, without that prayer life, without that spending time on our knees before Him, we may keep the obligations, and that may be all we keep because our mind's focused on everything else and it's not focused on Christ. He'll enable you to keep those obligations. You see, success is knowing God's will and just doing it. It's not based on what everybody else thinks. It's not having lots of money. It's not being the goal of going here or doing this or doing that. No. It's just knowing what God wants and doing it. And oftentimes, we're not focused on Him. Boy, we've been talking so much in Sunday school about how a man treats his wife and how now how a lady treats her husband and all those things. Listen, couples, I believe with all my heart, and I believe that we can prove it by Scripture, that if your marriage is in trouble, it's a fact. Your marriage is in trouble, you're struggling in your marriage, somebody's not right with the Lord. And we can't just point and blame the other person, you know. How you treat your wife, sir, would determine whether or not, would be a good indicator whether or not you're right with the Lord. Ma'am, same thing. That's how you treat your husband. How you handle that. Are you surrendered to God? Does it show in your life? Yep, I'm surrendered to God, but I don't have that good a relationship with my spouse. Okay. And then vice versa, you see. Or, I'm surrendered to God, but I'm seeking all I can do to have that good relationship with my house. I love what my spouse loves. Isn't that true love? God, shouldn't we love what God loves? Shouldn't I love what my wife loves and take an interest in that? And shouldn't it be vice versa? What does my wife love the most? How can I help her with that? Well, it ought to be God, amen. But there are other things too. Are you surrendered to God? How a young person reacts to his or her parents. Kid, you don't know that verse, do you? Ephesians 6:1? No, what is it? Amen. That's what it is. And you kids think, oh, I don't like that verse, that one there. No, that's not something God does to you. It's something God does for you because He loves you. That's all. On a scale from 1 to 10, how's your relationship with mom and dad? Young ladies, how's your relationship with mom? Young men, how's your relationship with mom? Do you obey mom? Do you respect her? Are you surrendered to God? Or is God looking down and he's saying, I hate what you try to do for me? That's what he said. I despise your love, or I despise your burnt offerings and your meat offerings. Relationship to parents is a direct correlation of your relationship with God. You see. But then we come down here to a meat offering. Well, let me give an illustration. I know of a family that the mother of that home was one particular way around the church people, but she spoke differently inside the home. This was years ago. And the children really expressed disgust in that. And it bothered them. And, you know, young people, you say, well, you don't know what way my dad and mom this or that, you may think. But listen, let me encourage you. God will honor you when you obey Him. It doesn't make any difference what your situation is. God honors obedience to Him. But the parents got, and again, and the children were discouraged about that inconsistent situation there. Are you surrendered to God? And then we come to the meat offering here. It says the meat offering is usually grain or flour, some bread. It symbolizes the offering of our tithes today, the first fruits of all our increase. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, and so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Listen, God doesn't want your pocketbook. You say, oh, and I just talked to one man and said that the preacher on TV, I don't know which one, I'll not name it because I'm not sure which, I forget which one it was, but of years ago, would always ask for money, and these people would give them all their money and end up in the poorhouse, you know, and all this. That's not of God. No. The Bible says, honor the Lord with all thy substance. It's not about asking for money. I would dare say, as Grace Baptist Church, if your heart's not in it, we don't need your tithe here. Okay? I think we'd all say that. I think the men of Grace Baptist and the pastor say the same. If your heart's not in it and you feel like you've got to give, don't bother. I was sitting in a Presbyterian church in Virginia one day. My wife and I were just married. I think we had two little Shumways, June and Janelle. I was sitting in the back row of that church, you know, and it was time to take the offering. This fella in front, and I just couldn't even help it. You see things, you know what I mean? This fella took a check out of his pocket, out of his wallet, and the check, and I'll just tell you, because I remember, it was for $50. He brought that check out and unfolded it, you know, right in front of everybody, leaned back and put his arm over his wife and turned that check back. I guess everybody else could see it in the back. Listen, I was three rows back, but I wanted to see what was on the check. You know what I'm saying? I guess I shouldn't have done that. All right. But I did it. He was showing everybody in that place, listen, God doesn't want that $50. He must have made $500, huh? I don't know what he made that week. But nonetheless, That kind of action and that kind of attitude is a spirit of hypocrisy. A demonic spirit of hypocrisy. Can I say that? It's saying, yep, everything's okay, I'm all good. You're not all good. You see. Now, I don't know what the fellow's home life is like and whatever, But it's the Spirit is saying, it's all working out. Don't worry about me. I'm spiritual. I'm okay. I got the right clothes on here. I got the right face on here at church. But my home life's a wreck. Or my way I think, way I am at work is a wreck. Do you know how many guys I've heard say, yeah, that guy's a deacon. I know a deacon in a church. But then the guys know him at work. Cussing and swearing. Carrying on. Listen, are you surrendered to God this morning? The peace offering. The peace offering was an unblemished ox or smaller cattle. And again, folks, these are expensive offerings here. But it was offered in communion with God. Listen, we have a peace offering, amen? We have free communion with God. Free access with confidence by faith in Him, Ephesians tells us. Colossians 1, verses 20 and 21, and having made peace through the blood of His cross. He reconciled us, brought us right together with Him. We have constant and continuous access to fellowship and commune with God. But dear friend, I ask you, do you take Him up on it? Can I say it like that this morning? Do you understand what I mean? Do you have that with God? Do you have a God consciousness, always aware, making daily decisions in light of God? How will this decision affect my testimony? How often do you ask that question? Oh, I got a small business. I want to tell you, I ask myself that question all the time. It just ties me up in knots sometimes. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, because I'm flesh, that's why. Is this how I should handle this or that? Is this right? Well, the customer would never know. Kyler would never know either. No, but there's one that sees all, even my heart. You see. And you don't do right. A man that walks with God and knows God, folks, he doesn't do right just because God sees him. He does it because he wants to please the heart of God. His goal is God's heart, not just God so God withholds his judgment. No. He wants to please God with his whole heart, and he wants God to be pleased with God's whole heart. Because the lamb that was slain is worthy of it. You see. Sir, do you run your business that way? Do you run your life that way? Do you run your household that way? Do you, ma'am, do you take care of your children that way? Dads, is that what your heart is? As you give those kids family devotions and that wife. I know one man, he needed surgery on his back and had trouble, you know, and his insurance company really stiffed him with it. It was wrong. I no doubt about it. The man, I believe the man got a bad deal. This was down in North Carolina. We were down there. And it was hard times for him. But instead of seeking God in this situation, man, he'd come to church and he'd complain. He'd say nasty things about the insurance company. I mean, complaining about pain, that's one thing, whatever, okay? I think we as brothers and sisters ought to be able to sympathize with that and pray for that person and be able to talk freely about that. And that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying, he'd come and he'd say nasty things about the insurance company and about how he'd like to reach through the phone, you know, and all that. Listen, he was saying things that a Christian walking with God. Now, yes, he's a tested Christian, understand. But in fellowship with God, no, he wasn't. Not with a murderous heart. Well, I'd like to do to that person there, you know. In the same breath, he'd tell you he's dependent on God and how good God was. And trying to sound spiritual, in reality, this man's not in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we talk about others in our homes when they're not around? What do we say before our children? before others. If we say we have fellowship with Him, 1 John 1 and verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Whether in good times or bad times, God's people must have a right attitude and a right spirit that only comes through an abiding relationship with Christ. Question, are we always going to feel like it's all working out? No, we're not. Faith points to Christ. Feelings over there somewhere. You got to get that guy in line with faith. Because that guy, faith, he's right on, man. Faith's gone. He's going right down the path. I'm the way, the truth, and the light. Isn't that the way we want? That's our faith. That's where it needs to go. Amen. Feelings? He's going to the slough of despond. Amen. All right there in Pilgrim's Progress. He's going to the mud pit. That's where feelings is going. I'm sorry. Feelings is he's going to the mud pit. Faith is saying Christ. Christ. And we need to get that feelings in line. You say, well, it's not in line. You know what? Just trust God. Just by faith, do right in it. Amos, these Hebrews here in Amos were claiming to be in fellowship with God, and they weren't. It was hypocrisy. And who sniffs out hypocrisy more than anybody is a batch of teenagers. A batch of young people, boy, they'll know as soon as whatever. My kids know Daddy preaches now. Kids, you need not to hit everybody. And we got sibling rivalry at our home. I don't know if you have that in your home, but or ever had. Sibling rivalry is something we've declared war on. But you know what? Dad's got to get a hold of himself if there's going to be any war won in the house. Well, you get angry. You can't get angry there. You just need to calm down and don't hit your sister. I remember one day I was walked in the house there, and I forget, girls wrote all over the wall. It's just Nellie and June. And you know, I was hot, okay? Finally, little Nellie looks up at me, and we just had devotions on something. Or, you know, we she says, Daddy, why are you so angry? She was right. I was so mad. I just put my head down and walked out of the room. The little ladies knew that it wasn't right. The kids know. They know what you do and what you say, whether or not it's in line with God's word. Yeah, most of the time. Number one, we saw false worship. Number two, I want to see false praise. Hey, listen, what's God speaking about this morning? I sat down and I thought, oh, I know what I'm going to preach next week. No, I didn't know. I started going over the message that I thought I was going to preach this week. God said, no, I don't want you to preach it. I want you to preach this. And I thought, but Lord, it just doesn't seem relevant. We preachers, we don't have any smarts sometimes because we just don't. We walk by. We want a reason why we're going to do what we're going to do. There's no reasoning with God. You obey Him. Wow, there's no Lord. There's not that much idolatry at our church. I thought. Hey, we'll let that between you and God and me and God. Amen. We'll let Him sort it out. But I heard I had an old deacon tell me, an old fellow tell me one time, he says, preacher, he says, you just need to preach the word of God and let the chips fall where they fall. Amen. Well, amen. False praise. He says in chapter or verse 23, take thou away from me the noise of thy songs. Now, noise isn't a nice word. Anybody like noise? Noise is when a little fellow sits in a high chair and goes, ah, ah, ah. Oh, that's, I don't like that. That's noise. I remember when I was in Bible college, we had a lot of special music in chapel time. But I lived in those dorms with those fellows, you know, and there was 12 of them, in there, and there's always one guy with real extra stinky feet. You know what I'm saying? I mean, man, so in other words, you had to deal with guys, all right? You lived close together there, all right? So anyway, you're in the dorms there, and there's 12 guys in the room, and you get to know each other very well. And you get to have some good relationships, some friends. I got some guys from college, and most of them all younger than me, but what a blessing they are. And but we'd have special music, and boy, you know, you'd get to know the ones that weren't really in line with what God's Word said, too, in Bible college. You say, well, they're in Bible college. It doesn't make any difference. There's absolutely carnal infidels in Bible college, okay? You know, just put it where it's at. All right, I don't know the infidels, but they're carnal. All right, and occasionally someone would get up the pulpit to sing, and the music would be God honoring, the words would be God honoring, and the way in which it was sung was God honoring. But as a dorm student in the college, you knew the lifestyle and the attitude of that guy or lady that was singing that thing. And they would be singing a song about being surrendered, and you knew that they weren't surrendered, and you know what? You just wanted to put your head down, and you did. It repulsed you. It's like, come on, guy. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you. Because people draw nigh to me with their mouth, that's what they were doing. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I wonder, between you and God this morning, let's say you could sing like the best angelic voice in all of history. Let's just suppose that you had that voice this morning. If you stood up to sing, would God say, I don't want to hear the noise? It doesn't matter how good it sounds. Sound like a kid in a high chair. In a restaurant. You know what I'm saying? No, I don't want that, he'd say. I don't want to hear that noise. Take thou away from me the noise of thy song. That's false praise. And folks, we're all going to sing here a little bit later. We've all sung. Could God be saying that to you? And you might be hearing, you say, yeah, he probably was saying that because I got this here he's speaking to me about, and maybe this or maybe just this one thing that it isn't so bad. Well, I want to tell you right now, it's bad. Okay, whatever that is, that one thing. Because that's what's separating between you and God, and it's called sin. And the wages thereof is what? Death. So, false praise. And maybe even right now in your heart, you can say, you know, I'm going to confess that. Isn't that how the blood works? I'm going to confess that right here now. You don't have to come to this altar. You say, why do we even have an altar call? Because sometimes it just feels good. Just go get things down there and get things right. And just haul into her. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to hit this right. This is a morning bench here. I mean, I'm a rotten sinner. And God, I want to tell you about it because I just can't stand my stinking self. Okay? If you don't feel like that sometimes, dear friend, I don't know what about your relationship with God. You see? Because our self stinks. My self does. Yes, sir. False worship, false praise. Number three, finally, false dedication. Just because you make a decision one day to dedicate your life to the Lord, and I think maybe many of us have done that in this room this morning, doesn't mean that you're dedicated the next day. We got to rededicate, man. And that's constant, you see. And I understand there's some men that have experiences. I've been one of those men. God called me to preach. I couldn't get away from it if I wanted to get away from it. And I want to just tell you something. God's still calling me to preach. You say, what do you mean? I don't explain it, but I know He is. And He puts a call in your life, and that's a dedication that God wants a man or a woman to do. And then he better walk with God. I think God will kill him. And so what I'm trying to say is that is the type of dedication that God calls us to be that kind of gift there in Ephesians 4. But there's also the dedication. I don't care if you're called to preach or called as a pastor, evangelist, or prophet, or whatever that list is, or whatever you're called. You still have within those bounds to be dedicated just in daily life to the Lord, which we can get away from so easily. And false dedication. It says here in verse 25 and 26, God asked, "Have ye offered me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel?" The answer is, yeah, they did. Verse 26 says, "But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch, and ye and your images, the star of your God, which ye made yourselves." Listen, God makes His warning personal here. When His children have idols, things in their lives that are a higher priority than Jesus Christ, He takes it personal. Young couple gets married in 2 days. Husband's running off with some other woman. You say, that's wicked. So is it when our hearts stray from God. It's the same thing, folks. It's a marriage. And if we're going to succeed in life, know what God's will is and do it, we've got to be right with Him in all aspects, not holding anything back. Because it's false dedication. It's a lie. You see, these Israelites were highly religious, but their hearts were far from God. Could you be sacrificing to a false god in your life? What's He speaking to you about? And an idol is any item, interest, or activity that takes precedence or priority over your relationship with Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, 18 and 19, "And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell." The Father. Folks, we've got to see God high and exalted on His throne. You and I have got to see that, Christians. We've got to see that. If this world's going to see us any different than anybody else, how do you handle adverse circumstances? How do you deal with things? Are you different than the world, or are you the same? I'm not just preaching to you. What's God speaking to you about this morning? Circumstances come up. Are we more like the snake, or are we more like the worm there in Psalm chapter number 22? Jesus said, "I'm a worm and no man." He was oppressed and He was afflicted, and He didn't open His mouth. Are we dedicated? False dedication. The nation of Israel was habitually committing the sin of idolatry. What's God speaking to you about? Man, it could be fishing this morning. Nothing wrong with fishing. It's in its proper place. Sports. Nothing wrong with sports. It's in its proper place. Materialism, money, stuff, certain style clothing, name brands, popularity, the list could go on. I'd name these things, but I'd miss yours anyway. What's God saying to you? Are you committed and knowing to knowing the Word of God? And I know, folks, it comes wintertime, you know, and you can't do as much outside and everything, and you come in. We get so tempted to turn that TV on, you know? We get so tempted to hop in that internet, fire that machine up, all right, and let her... Listen. Those websites, those YouTube things that you look at, those television programs... Those things that you use as entertainment, as amusement, and that word amusement, you know, that amusement means to think. A means that you don't have any thought about it. No thinking. Amusement isn't good for a Christian, because the spirit-filled life of a Christian is not passive, it is active. We shouldn't really be dealing with amusement, okay? And all those things. There's a battle going on in the air. Whether you know it or not, there is. And spirits of lust, spirit of anger, spirits of anything want to come through between these ears. Get in our hearts and minds and influence us in temptation to heighten the anger that we've already had, to heighten the bitterness we already have. Dear friend, bitterness does nothing but give a foothold, Ephesians, a foothold for the satanic attacks. From wee little young to old. And we've got to have a dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ. Idolatry. Idolatry, you see. And those amusement and those television shows and things, you've got to ask yourself this question this morning. Can I pray that those producers of those YouTube websites and all this stuff, the iPhones, the cell phones, all the things, whatever it is, can I pray for those people that they would continue to produce those products or those videos on the YouTube and those shows on the television? Can I pray for them that they'll continue to keep making those programs and those things I watch, because it's so spiritually edifying? And can I pray that God can bless those people for that? Listen, if you can't pray for that, you've got to get off that thing. I'm not saying men and ladies neglecting our responsibilities. There's some things we've got to do. I'm talking about entertainment. I'm talking about how we spend our free time. What is God speaking to you about? You might say, boy, preacher, you just ripped everybody up. No, you know, you understand something? The preacher might. But the sweet, tender voice of the shepherd of Israel does not ever. He says, you come to me. I love you. I want to take care of you. You come. I'm wash you in my blood. And you'll be white as snow. That's what he desires. That's what he wants. What's God speaking to you about this morning? Let's go ahead. Let's stand for prayer this morning. We're going to sing Amazing Grace without anything this morning. That's going to be our invitation. Amazing Grace. And does anybody know what number that is that we might go there? Number three. All right. Thank you very much. Number three. Let's go to number three, and we're just going to...